Who comes to mind when you hear the word diva? Do you think of that person, maybe that performer, in a positive way, negative, a little bit of both? Our next guest has spent a lot of time thinking and writing about a particular kind of diva in the music, pop culture, and celebrity worlds. The Madonnas, Beyoncés, Taylor Swifts, and more, usually, but not always, women. He says the rules and roles of divas have changed over the years. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Who comes to your mind when we say the word diva? And are you a fan, a critic, a fan of me, a little of both? What gives a performer diva status? What questions do you have about the role of divas in our popular culture? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Spencer Kornhaber is a staff writer at The Atlantic, where he covers music and popular culture. His new book is called On Divas, Persona, Pleasure, Power. Spencer, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You don't nail down a hard and fast definition of diva, but you've got some guidelines. What is key to someone being definable anyway as a diva?
Right. Well, for most people, diva is sort of like a two-pronged word, right? It means, for most people, it just means female singer. But there's this other definition that has this connotation of being demanding and hard to deal with. And you know, just sort of like tough and self-involved. And obviously that definition sort of flows out of some stereotypes about the first definition, the female singer kind. So I would say, you know, as I looked around popular culture and saw this archetype showing up, not just with women, but with a lot of women, it made me think about what do we really mean when we say someone's a diva? And it comes down to a sort of a kind of assertiveness, a kind of pushing your voice, your identity, your desires out into the world in a way that disrupts the world, challenging social norms, challenging manners, and really kind of like cleaving the audience into groups that either love you or really, really don't like you.
If, say, a Midwestern public radio host started acting like a diva, well, I think everyone's going to see that as negative, right? But if somebody at a, I don't know, Beyonce or Madonna level or something like that, I think, as I read a lot of your essays, Spencer, there's a thought that it's okay because they are performing at such a high level that they get to be a diva.
Right, right. Nicki Minaj has this sort of somewhat famous spiel where she talks about being offered pickle juice on set and walking away, like at some photo shoot. And she basically is saying, you know, I really put in a lot of work and thought into what I do. And the people who are working with me need to show me some respect, because otherwise I would just be drinking pickle juice. So it's sort of like this inspirational model of, asking for what you deserve.
And you wrote in a more recent piece in The Atlantic that, quote, divas are the most important entertainers of our time. Can you build on that a little?
Well, yeah. I mean, if you look around at the pop music landscape, really the entertainment landscape of the moment, the names dominating it that come to mind are Taylor Swift and Beyonce. You know, Taylor Swift is not just a musician at this point. She's an entire business empire. She just became a billionaire. She has, she has one of the most viewed movies in America right now. We are turning to really, really powerful women to lead the culture right now. You know, we've always had these figures around, and they've often been very, very powerful and successful, but they haven't always centered their own dominance, their own leadership, their own like kind of like mogul capabilities in the way that the divas of our moment are.
Your opening chapter is about Britney Spears, who, since you wrote this piece, since the book came out, released her own book, memoir, looking back at her difficult career, difficult life. And it really, like, you think, okay, somebody in this diva position, making lots of money, presumably, in charge of their game. But in not just Britney Spears' case, in some cases, people are feeling manipulated, controlled at best. Can you talk about some of the double-edged sword here?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if you look back on the history of pop divadom, at least, you really do see a lot of stories of these seemingly indomitable women being kind of dominated and controlled by men behind the scenes, whether that's their managers or significant others, or in Britney's case, family members. You have people like Whitney Houston or Tina Turner really facing stories of domestic violence. You have Mariah Carey, who was basically in a conservatorship de facto of her own in the 90s. You know, there are a lot of stories of popular women needing to really turn to the public and to their fans in order to be freed. And so Britney is maybe the most dramatic and certainly the most recent and vivid example of that. And, you know, a lot of the female pop stars that came up after her specifically to find themselves in opposition or in reaction to what Britney went through and has been going through, where it's very clear now that they are the bosses of their own career, or they really make that illusion, at least, central to their performance. But Britney was not able to do that in the early 2000s, you know, as she kind of evolved from girlhood to womanhood. She started to behave like a young adult woman does, started dating, drinking, you know, living her own life, spending her own money, and doing it all in the public eye at a time when the public eye was sharper and had more scrutiny towards celebrities than it ever had, thanks to the rise of the internet. And so she was sort of like in this perfect storm moment where just by asserting her own desires, she was facing backlash and judgment from all quarters. And eventually the people who were making money from her, the people around her who could exert some control, really started to exert some more control. And she found herself in a situation where she had basically lost the rights of an adult woman and was the ward of her father for 13 years and has only recently attained freedom.
A theme that goes through your book and the different people you look for is, in many ways, who controls the identity of the diva? Is it the diva, her, or in some cases himself, their manager or controlling family members, as you talked about, the fans, celebrity journalism, the internet, when that starts coming along? How much tension is there between all of those?
Yeah, I mean, the thing about the diva is that, you know, she is okay living in conflict. We, as the public, maybe enjoy seeing the diva resting like in a power struggle with the people around her, with her managers and these controlling male figures, but also with the media and with their fans and with public perceptions. You know, and the canny divas do seem to be able to pull the public onto their side, at least when they're at the peak of their powers. And in case after case, though, you do see these stories of downfall when the public turns and says, you know, you're demanding too much and you're not giving us enough. Your performance is starting to slip. And so we afford you these capabilities and we can take them away too.
Talking to Spencer Kornhaber about his new book. It's called On Divas, Persona, Pleasure, Power. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Let's talk about the gender thing. Spencer, I keep saying mostly women, mostly not, and some men. But it seems like there's something about women in positions of power. You talk about this in a little of the book that that can latch on to this diva status, the pros and the cons. Whereas a guy in this position might not be judged as negatively for the negative side of divadom. Why is that?
Right. Well, in a lot of ways, right. Like the term diva just refers to a woman acting with the same impudence that a man does, or that certain kinds of men do. That bossy, powerful men kind of take for granted their ability to ask for what they want, to set the rules of engagement, to even speak with them. When women start to do that, you know, we're not used to it. And so we judge it more harshly. And, you know, that goes really far back. But, you know, the smart divas understand this and start working this double standard into their art. You know, Beyonce has a song saying the diva is a female version of a hustler. You know, Taylor Swift has that song, The Man, which is really about, you know, if I was a man, you would all say that I'm the man. You would all like treat me like this swaggering success rather than this, you know, troublemaker.
We're talking to Spencer Kornhaber about his new book, On Divas, Persona, Pleasure, Power. You could join in if you'd like at 800-642-1234. Are you a fan of somebody you think fits this diva category? Or do you have some ambivalent feelings about a, say, pop star in this diva zone? Join in with your thoughts, your questions at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. If you think about divas in this way, who is a diva? 800-642-1234 is the number. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our talk with Spencer Kornhaber from The Atlantic. We're talking about the role of the pop diva, how it's changed over the years, what it says about changes in our wider popular culture. You can join in at 800-642-1234 if you have a question for our guest about his work or if you have thoughts on divas or a particular pop culture big name celebrity who fits the category in your mind. Join in at 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas at WPR.org. One of the people in this diva category now is in the news, Lizzo, Spencer, and you highlight a parallel in a recent piece with a past, or I guess she's still around, a diva herself, Madonna, where they both had this persona of, you know, kind of wild. They had this inner circle of people. Things were pretty loosey-goosey sexually and things like that. Both of them getting ultimately sued by dancers and others in their circles. Can you talk about what you see in those stories?
Right. Yeah, Lizzo's really facing some public relations and legal challenges lately because her dancers say that the environment on tour was just inappropriate. There were no boundaries. They were being kind of asked to go to strip clubs with their boss and, you know, forced into situations they didn't really want to be in. And when they spoke up, they felt intimidated. You know, it's a sort of shocking story, but it's also very familiar. If you watch Madonna's 1991 documentary, Truth or Dare, which is really a classic of the concert documentary genre, you see Madonna interacting with her dancers in ways that really kind of resemble the way that Lizzo is said to have done so. But Madonna, you know, though she had to settle with her dancers out of court, this was never really a public relations problem for her. She was, in fact, celebrated for being kind of like a high-handed, demanding, domineering figure. That's part of what we love about Madonna. It seems like we're moving into this era where what we want from our stars, our cultural leaders, and certainly the women in those roles, is this sort of contradictory blend of being sort of like bad and a rule breaker and a troublemaker, but also being like a really nice person and a really considerate boss. You know, kind of trying to reconcile some of the conversations we've had over the past few years, like following Me Too and maybe even Mean Too, the kind of reckoning over bossy behavior and abusive power dynamics. We are now turning to divas who never had to be accountable with how they used their power before and asking them to maybe professionalize, maybe sharpen up, and maybe be a kinder, gentler kind of, you know, cultural leader. It's sort of a tough ask, but it's a little bit of a hopeful one too, I think.
Talking to Spencer Kornhaber about his new book on divas, Persona, Pleasure, Power. Let's bring on a caller. Kevin is with us in Janesville. Kevin, hi.
Hi, thanks very much. Is there a more a historic past back look, say like Barbara Streisand, I would say, had to be the quintessential diva of her day. Did you have some sort of historic past search,
Kevin,
for this diva persona?
Thanks for the call. Spencer, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you can trace this archetype back for more than a century. You know, it kind of comes out of opera and the prima donna concept. And certainly Barbara absolutely fits the bill, both like with her sort of stunning, you know, vocal abilities and ability to command the stage, but also with the kind of demands she has been known for making in her personal life. You know, a lot of those demands were about how she spends her money and uses her success, you know, the opulent ways that she has wanted to like decorate her homes. A lot of things she gets called a diva for are about how she's perceived, you know, like the angle from which I believe she wants to be photographed or things like that. You know, that's called diva behavior, and you can understand it seems kind of preposterous to a normal person, but her job is to, you know, be this vaunted goddess-like figure, so she's going to want to have some control over that.
Thanks a lot for the call, Kevin. Spencer, you look at modern social media, TikTok and others, where, in theory, we all have the opportunity to become celebrities and go viral. Are you seeing at least attempts to impersonate divas as people try to go viral on TikTok and elsewhere?
Yeah, TikTok is sort of democratizing the diva, I think. I think it's very common to sort of, you know, film videos in your living room, holding a hairbrush, acting like Beyonce and doing her 8-count choreo. And some people have gone viral doing that and then become a little bit of pop sensations themselves. And so there's like a way to kind of like cheat your way into feeling like a diva. You know, we're at a time though when platforms like TikTok also make it harder to attain the kind of spectacle and vast reach and kind of production values that we took for granted with the previous generations of divas. And so I'm kind of curious to see if we'll ever have anyone reach the kind of heights of spectacle and reach that someone like Beyonce or Whitney ever did.
And Spencer, as we wrap up, you're a music writer, but is there a diva musician who you turn to for fun listening when you just need something fun to listen to at the risk of offending the other divas, just briefly?
Well, you don't have to choose one, but if I had to, I am all in on Lady Gaga. She has been with me for a long time, and I think she's great and hilarious.
Spencer, we'll leave it there. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you.
That's Spencer Kornhaber, staff writer for The Atlantic. We talked to him today about his new book. It's called On Divas, Persona, Pleasure, Power.